Later in today's show, we're going to be joined for a full-blown conversational interview with singer-songwriter and friend of the show, Mr. Rob Baird, who has a new live record that he is dropping tomorrow, Tuesday. So to open today's show, he's going to sing my favorite single from his last album titled Wrong Side of the River. Here is Mr. Rob Baird singing Run of Good Luck live in the studio right the fuck next to my ass.
Honey, are you doing okay? I'm just a shadow of a man. Guessing was his old field rigs that finally did me in. I ain't got no expectations. Sometimes life just gets in the way. Why don't we just roll the dice and head down the interstate? Ain't you tired of this town? Life just seems to sink into the ground. We were born to be better than this. Worn out steel and leather. Packing bags, Maria. Throw them in the trunk. Think it's time we roll the dice. Hope for a run of good luck. Look at you, Maria, staring out into the wind. Wondering if you never left, might be your biggest sin. There was a time when all the lights of these streets couldn't hold your dreams. So come on, baby, just roll them dice, get the hell out of Abilene. And it's raining in this town. Life just seems to sink into the ground. We were born to be better than this. Worn out steel and leather. Packing bags, Maria. Throw them in the trunk. Think it's time we roll the dice. Hope for a run of good luck. What you gotta lose anyway? Don't you think it's time? Don't you think it's time to get away? Burn out of this town. Pull ourselves back onto solid ground. We were born to be better than this. Worn out steel and leather. Ride with me, Maria. Roll out like the dust. Think it's time we roll the dice. Hope for a run of good luck. Think it's time we roll the dice. And hope for a run of good luck.
Welcome to episode 271 of the Ross Bolin Podcast, otherwise known as RBP271, presented by Bolin Media. I am your host, Ross Bolin, of course, joined today by Jared Borislow.
I'm here. Look at me.
I am. So are they. But you're red. You're Wisconsin red today. You're proud Badger red. Look at you.
Does it make my face look super red? That's my biggest worry whenever I wear this shirt. Yeah.
Yeah. If you don't know this, for white people, especially if you're real pale like Jared and I, because we spend so much time doing good indoors.
Yes.
When we wear red, if we have any type of blemish, you know, anything like that, just zoom in real close on HD on Jared's face.
No, you don't have to do that.
Now let's point out the blemish. Anyway, I'm just kidding.
He did it.
It's a beautiful shirt. It's a beautiful shirt.
Go Badgers.
And you're a beautiful man.
Thank you.
You're a beautiful, beautiful man. How have you been? You were off last week. You got a new puppy.
I did get
a
puppy.
That's big news.
Yes. Check out on my Instagram at Borislow. You can see some of
what
pictures
kind of puppy?
Of the dog. It's an Aussie doodle.
What's its name?
Millie.
How much does she weigh?
Right now, she weighs about 16 pounds. She's going to get up to 50 plus, 50 to 60 range.
She's going
to
be a big girl.
She's going to be a pretty big girl. We love her. She's very bitey right now. Razor sharp teeth.
Oh,
shredding
puppy.
Me. Shredding me to bits.
Get two toys for her to teeth on.
We do. She bites us. We shove the toy in her mouth, and then she's like, bite. And I'm like, oh, we can rest. And then she goes rah, right back to my arms and bites my arms.
How tired are you right now?
I'm pretty tired. I got lucky because my girlfriend works night shifts and I work day shifts, so we can kind of switch it up. So I don't have to wake up at like 12 and 2 and 4 and 6 and 8 to let the dog out. I can kind of get away with letting her out at 12 and 2, and then Leah comes home, and boom, and then
It's not so bad.
And then I pass it off on her.
I have to do that with myself. I let myself out to go to the bathroom at 12 and 2 and 4 and
then
8.
Tough.
It is.
If you want, you can phone me in, and I can be like, Russ, whip it out. Okay, evacuate.
Wow.
Yeah. So I would be good. You would not think I would go there.
Evacuation come. Evacuation.
Well, let's not talk about talk about cum.
Evacuation complete.
I do understand the reference though, but I had to say it.
RBP271 is brought to you by Felix Gray. I constantly have my face in a screen from morning to night. Jared and I both do. They're everywhere. Screens surrounding us, our computers.
One, two,
three, five, nine. My cell phone, my gaming computer that I play on at night. I'm staring at screens all day. The screen time, it can't be cut down.
They turned billboards into screens now.
They have.
That's a screen.
That's a screen. It's 2020. The screens are everywhere. And with screens come blue light. And they cause things with, like, you're tired, your eyes get tired, dry eyes, headaches, blurry vision, trouble sleeping by the end of the day. I have all of those symptoms. And I've been wearing contacts since I was 14 years old. So by the end of every day, my eyes are truly dry and they hurt and they need relief. Not since I've been wearing Felix Gray blue light glasses, though, people. Whenever I get home at the end of the day and I'm ready to relax, I take my contacts out, I throw on my Felix Grays, and my God, everything is instantly better. Felix Gray launched in 2016 with a singular focus to offer the most effective computer glasses on the market with all the quality of brand-name designer frames, and they quickly became the internet's favorite blue light glasses. They filter out 90% of high-energy blue light, Jared.
That's most.
Also, 99% of the harsh glare that comes from our screens.
That's almost all.
Mm-hmm.
Wait,
and you don't know this.
Wait,
you don't recognize this, Jared. You don't know this. But when you're playing a computer game or your little Xbox or whatever it is the fuck you do, or when you're at home and you're watching Barney Fife on the TV, there's glare. But you don't think there's glare. Put on the Felix Grays and then look at the TV, you stupid little bitch.
So you're telling
there was glare.
You're telling me, like, you know when you're in have you ever had to work on a hotspot in your car?
Sure. Oh,
and,
sure.
And you have a windows surrounding you, like from the front, from the sides, and your screen is so glary that from the back, and you find yourself having to put your eyes on the screen to the point where you need to keep your eyes in place and then move the computer around in order to see. You're telling me I wouldn't have to do that with
you? You wouldn't. That's why you get Felix Grays. They're available in prescription, non-prescription readers. They have you covered with optical glasses for work, sleep glasses that you can wear in the evening. They're clinically proven to increase melatonin secretion when worn leading up to bedtime. Why would you buy glasses from a company whose sole focus isn't making glasses? I trust Felix Gray because they make the best blue light glasses in the game. Go to felixgrayglasses.com/RBP and get a pair of blue light glasses from the pros. Shipping and returns are totally free. That's felixgrayglasses.com/RBP. felixgrayglasses.com/RBP. Some announcements and shouts. First, shout out to Smitty Wergen Jagerman Jensen.
That's a SpongeBob reference.
And his boy Pozzy.
That is not a SpongeBob reference.
I don't know. I just read the fucking thing.
Yeah. He was number one, by the way.
It says, Colin, shave your damn head. Your boy Paul will not leave me the fuck alone. I'm sorry.
All right.
Also, happy birthday to everyone in the RBP gang that has a birthday this week. Those are the two weirdest shouts we've had in succession ever, perhaps.
That's the worst shout. Was that your shout? Shouts to everybody who listens to this who has a birthday this week?
Yeah, because nobody called in.
Hey, you know what? Hey, shouts to everybody out there whose name is
when I say
Jeff.
Steve, too. When I say called in, I mean, usually I get birthday shouts from DMs and emails, right? And so I didn't get any since last time we recorded. So thus, happy birthday to everyone.
Did you shout out me on my birthday?
No. Happy birthday to Jared last week.
Thank you.
I didn't record since your birthday even.
Oh, really? Oh, you were that sad that I couldn't do it?
Jared turned...
Do you have any idea how old I am?
I have no fucking clue how old you are.
Yes.
Jared turned 27.
That's right.
Yes! Shut the fuck up.
That's actually right.
Oh, yes, sick. I did it.
Now, I bet you a lot of listeners probably think I'm older or younger. Most people don't think I'm 27. They think I'm like, oh, he's a 25-year-old with a beard.
Yeah, I think,
or
here's what it is.
He's a 32-year-old.
They hear you speak, and they haven't seen you, and they think, oh, that's a child. That's a child. And then they see you, and they say, oh, that's a 72-year-old.
I don't think that's right, but, you know, it's each... I can't speak. I'm very biased. I know what I look like. But I don't know if I do look 27. I think I do from this angle. I got some good light on me right now, except my face looks all red because of my goddamn shirt.
I think you look the best maybe you've ever looked on camera here. I'm being frank.
Yeah, well,
no, I don't know. The red might look good. It makes you look more alive. There's more blood in your face. You look less ghostly. Yeah.
I look more sanguine.
This is a huge improvement to me. You should wear red every day.
Should I?
Except be careful because bulls are attracted to it. They may charge.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Amends and fact-checking. Intern Natalie has not yet provided me with amends from RBP 270. They will be on the next episode.
You must have got everything right.
She's got class, I'm assuming. Just give her a break. President Abraham Lincoln did not enjoy retirement. Richard Nixon did not enjoy impeachment. The population of China is 1.439 billion. First segment. Insane headlines of the day. Here's your first headline of the day, Jared.
Okay.
Hold on to your ass and butt.
Okay. It's one and the same.
Swarms of locusts destroy huge swaths of farmland in East Africa.
Is this with their bombs? Are these the bomb locusts? I have to ask.
With their bombs and their guns and their bombs. Isn't that Sarah McLachlan? Nah, no.
Neither? I don't know.
The cranberries, thank you, Mike. No, this is not that. This is a real...
I didn't ask if it was that. I asked if it was the bomb locusts.
No, they're not bomb locusts. Okay. They're just regular-ass destructive locusts, and there's too many of them. And the problem here is, according to the Wall Street Journal... Across Somalia, desert locusts in a swarm the size of Manhattan have destroyed a swath of farmland. You don't want swaths of farmland destroyed.
I know.
Swath. As big as Oklahoma. So, you ever seen like a cloud of bugs fly by? It's a little creepy.
Yeah.
There's like gnats and shit that travel in these packs. Now, imagine if you saw a swath of locusts. Now I'm swathing the locusts. The size of Manhattan coming towards you.
You know, Manhattan's pretty big.
It's a large area,
mm-hmm.
a large city inhabited by millions of Americans.
I'm wondering if this is geographical Manhattan or like the borough district line, right? Is that...
You'd have to ask the good gentleman at the Wall Street Journal who wrote this column. This guy's the fact checker, not me. Mm. I just report on the reportings.
Yeah.
That's, you see?
Like a good capital J journalist.
Exactly. I report on the reportings...
That's how you keep the journalists honest.
I'm that part of the system. I keep the journalists in check by checking their checks.
And checking their checks is just saying what they said.
Exactly. But in a way,
we may be questioning
that may be also questioning it. Yes.
Maybe.
Maybe this didn't happen. But no, it did. It did. And in fact, it's a really big problem in Kenya. Billion-strong clouds of the insect
billions
have eaten through 800 square miles of crops and survived a weeks-long spraying campaign.
What are they spraying?
A weeks-long spraying campaign.
Dude, it sounds like when we went on spring break together in 2008. I was I was 16 in 2008.
Oh, come on, man.
Just, I had to put the year out
there. We got to get out of here. In parts of Pakistan, the pests have eaten 40% of their harvest, forcing the government to declare a national emergency. So on top of the coronavirus, on top of all the other lovely shit we've got going, there are, in fact, a number of Manhattan.
That's big.
It's happening, folks.
That's where Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles takes place.
We are on the way out. Strap in. I remember in the Bush presidency, people being like, these are the end times. Look at the signs. And I was with that shit then, bitch.
Wait.
I'm good with it now, too. Let's go.
Well, I mean, that was back then, right? And then Obama years, we had the Mayan 2012.
Obama!
The 2012 Mayan calendar where everybody thought we were going to die.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're still here. I'm still here.
I'm still standing. By the way.
I'm still strong.
I feel like I have to attend this. I was actually 15 in 2008.
Thanks for that math. Next headline. Texas woman steals identity of Houston Rockets owner Tillman Fertitta.
You know, it's a pretty unique name to steal. I feel like if I'm at a Chick-fil-A and somebody hands me a credit card for Tillman Fertitta, and it's a woman. Granted, if I don't know who Tillman Fertitta is, Tillman is one of the most, like, possibly feminine names I can think of. If you told me Tillman was a woman,
maybe she's a Tilly.
Tilly, which rhymes with Millie, my dog.
Listen, don't steal the identity of a fucking billionaire. You dipshit.
But if you're going to steal the identity of anybody,
maybe not a public figure. I don't know. It just seems maybe not, like, maybe don't shoot for the stars.
Oh.
Like, maybe have reasonable goals and expectations for your dumbass. Next headline. Hot Pocket heiress faces sentencing in U.S. college admissions scandal.
Yeah.
Okay, nobody knew there was a Hot Pocket heiress, did they?
I would have assumed that there was not. I thought that would be like, okay, we had some huge conglomerate had a think tank,
yeah,
and we came up with one item that we know that the Americans are going to love.
Right, like I would have figured like Walmart owned Hot Pocket, yeah, or something. No, no, it's like one family. What? It's a California woman whose family created the microwavable snack, the Hot Pocket, which didn't we do a segment about making love to a Hot Pocket? And by we, I of course mean AJ.
Wasn't that on his No Crank podcast called Hands Off?
I'm 99% sure that man talked about Hot Pockets as a fuckable food. Yeah, yeah, he did.
That's
well, anyway, their heiress is in trouble. AJ, save her.
Wait, what's he going to do?
She's going to prison for 21 months if AJ doesn't do something soon.
Well, yeah, but what do you want him to do?
Like, very soon.
What do you want him to do?
New sponsor alert. Do not tune your televisions. New sponsor alert. Listen up. RBP271 is also brought to you by Ollie. Jared, you and your dogs are about to be so fucking stoked. Your dog's health is important as every other member of your family, and it starts with what you feed them. But do you know what is in your dog's food? Ollie puts dogs first with vet-formulated recipes and fully transparent ingredients to give your dog the healthiest food possible. They make fresh meals for dogs with real ingredients that people can eat and deliver them to you on a regular schedule. They beat out store-bought dog food at a 10 to 1 on the palatability scale. That is insane. That's 10 to 1. Because they create customized, vet-formulated recipes made with all-natural ingredients, no preservatives, and sourced from U.S. family farms. Go to myollie.com, answer a few questions about your dog. They'll customize recipes to your dog and ship pre-portioned meals so your pup gets the perfect portion every time. They've delivered 5 million meals and counting. Shipping is free. If your dog doesn't like the meals, they have a money-back guarantee. Bruce and Bella, my two toy Australian shepherds, absolutely adore Ollie. We got our first shipment in a couple of weeks ago, and they have been eating it up. It's phenomenal. It's easy. It shows up to your door. The packaging is great. The little container they give you, the scoop they give you, it's all great, and your dogs will be the happiest they've ever been. Ollie is offering our listeners 50% off your first box, plus a free bag of treats at myollie.com/try/RBP. This is the best deal they have available anywhere. Go to myollie.com/try/RBP for 50% off plus a free bag of treats, spelled myollie.com/try/RBP. Do it for your dog. Jared, do it now. Next segment. It's the animal of the week. Mike, do it.
And now, Ross Boland's Animal of the Week.
I feel like I'm on Brian Fellow's Safari Planet.
Right? I always throw... my neck cracked.
Yeah, what was that? I heard a pop.
I always throw my head when we do the Animal of the Week thing, and I missed the fucking beat that time, so I'll just do it four times. Today's Animal of the Week, Jared, as you well know, sir...
Yes, I do.
As you did this research, is the aardvark.
Yes. The first entry in the U.S. dictionary, or the American English dictionary.
Wow.
Yeah.
How about that? Today, according to a guy I follow on Instagram, marks the beginning of National Aardvark Week, and I didn't know shit about the aardvark. So y'all know the drill. You Google aardvark, you look at the images in Google Images, and you peep while we speak. Jared, do you just want to like spit some aardvark facts at us? I'll read some, you read some. Let's do them quickly.
A lot of people think aardvarks and anteaters are the exact same thing. They're very far away. Aside from being mammals, they're not related.
But they look similar-y.
They look similar, and they have a long like nose, and they eat.
But the anteater has the tongue.
Yes. The anteater has like the
Yoshi tongue.
Yes.
Not whatever that was that you just...
Ba-dum. Yes. So they're not related aside from being mammals.
Ba-dum.
Anteaters are actually related to sloths, whereas aardvarks are the only living species in their order. Literally the only one. There's nothing like the aardvark.
One is the loneliest number.
Very sad.
That you ever knew.
Aardvarks are native to Africa. Anteaters are native to Central and South America.
Sweet Jesus.
Yes.
Keep going.
And aside from their face shapes, anteaters more closely resemble bears, whereas aardvarks resemble a weird-looking pig. Mixing the two with humans is actually how man-bear-pig was created. Fun fact.
It's hurtful, you said. A weird-looking pig.
Have you seen them?
First of all pigs are weird-looking.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a pig and gone, that pig is strange?
Aardvarks look like if you anthropomorphized Piglet from Winnie the Pooh. Like, oh, that weird, like a skinny, like...
Was it Man Bear Pig Al Gore?
Yeah, I think so.
That's an all-time episode. I love that we got a Man Bear Pig reference in here. Good job, Jared. Great. Continue, sir.
What
else?
Oddly enough, the animal aardvarks are more closely related to is the elephant. Aardvarks are more closely related to elephants than any other animal.
That's insane.
Believe it or not.
My God, they're also nocturnal.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nocturnal animals give me the creeps, especially when they look like they've got nocturnal animals, creepy eyes.
Yeah.
Always.
But sometimes aardvarks come out during the day to sunbathe, literally to sunbathe. Like lay out, they get their oil.
You and I never do this.
No, we should.
We need
someday.
To. We need to start living like aardvarks, Jared.
I'll get your back if you get mine.
Today's show is all about harnessing the vibe of the aardvark and living as the aardvark does during this one national aardvark week. Let us remember what is most important, which is to emulate the aardvark.
Yes. Aardvark, if you want to emulate one, you should dig a large multi-entrance burrow in your backyard and you should live in it. And also... You should sharpen your fingernails into very razor sharp spoon like instruments so you can claw through even the driest dirt. And you should get a diet of 60,000 ants and termites a night.
Sick, dude.
60,000.
How am I supposed to find that many?
I'm not entirely certain, but
it gets easier when you filed your nails
though. And traveling 10 miles a night.
I'm not doing that, Jordan.
Well, if Never you mind. Want to get sick,
this.
What?
We are not living as the aardvark lives. This is disgusting. We're not eating all those insects. I can't move 10 miles each night.
Well, can you close your nose so that when you're searching in a ant hill for ants, the ants can't crawl up your nose and bite the inside of your nose? Because aardvarks can do that. And they also have thick skin to prevent the bites from hurting them.
That just made my face like feel like pain.
Do you feel right now, if you think about it, do you feel an ant in your brain?
Oh, man. I'm going to tell this story. I've told it before. I'll tell it very quickly because we have very little time before our special guest is here. But when I was a young boy, I was once swimming in my grandparents' pool. And suddenly I felt a very extreme pain on the tip of my penis.
Oh, no.
And I went and I ran to the pool bathroom and I pulled down my swimsuit and there was a fucking ant that had just bit into the head of my dick. And it was hanging off there for dear life.
God.
And I was like, what? Like, bro, anywhere else.
Did he respond?
He was like, because fuck you. That's why.
Was
and then I ripped his goddamn head off, and his pinchers were still stuck in the head of my head. My penis head. RBP271 is also brought to you by Postmates. When you need red wine at 4 p.m., sushi at 9 p.m., a breakfast burrito at 8 a.m., and ibuprofen at 10 a.m. because an ant bit your penis, Postmate it. Postmates is your personal food delivery, grocery delivery, whatever kind of delivery service you need all year round. Anything you're craving, Postmates can deliver. And I know this because I use it almost every night. They're the largest on-demand network in the U.S., and they offer delivery from all the restaurants, grocery, and convenience stores and traditional retailers you could possibly want or need 24 hours a day. 365 days a year, Postmates will bring you what you need within the hour. No more trips to the store. You don't even have to know where the fucking store is. Fuck the store. Postmates will deliver anything to you. Download the app for iOS or Android for free. Browse local restaurants and businesses. Track your delivery in real time. I'm serious. I really do use it at least 3 times a week. Postmates is incredible. It's convenient. It saves me a ton of time.
Are your drivers nice?
Always. Love the Austin people that do Postmates here. The best. The best, Jared. The best. For a limited time, by the way, RBP gang, Postmates is offering you $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To just, all you have to do to start your free deliveries is download the app, Postmates, and use the code RBP. That's code RBP for $100. Free delivery credit for your first 7 days. That literally means you could say, well, damn it, Ross, I give up. I'll try. Download Postmates, you put in the code, and you've got $100 to eat for, I mean, that's got to get you through at least, what, 4 or 5 meals? I don't know how many people are in your family, but if it's just you, fuck all them. Use it for you.
Yeah.
That's it. Code RBP. Download Postmates. Save with the code RBP. Next segment. Fuck it. Rob Baird will do it live. Now, I don't need to talk anymore because we're going to bring Rob Baird into the studio and I'm going to kick you out.
Oh, well, it's been fun. Happy National Aardvark Week. And I hope you have a good night.
We're going to have a great time, Jared.
Have fun. Right,
And I will. You won't be here, though.
Yeah, I know. I got that.
All right, bye. Now, we welcome back to the studio singer-songwriter Rob Baird.
Hey, buddy.
Mr. Rob Baird, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
How are you, sir?
I'm good, man. It's good to be back. Like, when I walked in here last time, we didn't know each other. We were just like, hey, what's up?
And there weren't cameras.
There weren't, yeah.
We didn't have the cool cameras that you can wave to or whatever. Sometimes I tweak my nipples at them just to let people know that I'm aroused.
Yeah. Must be done. You have to give it to them when they need it.
You and I were talking right before we started recording, and then I was like, well, I have to do like 5 seconds of silence right before we start, and then I have to start talking in my my podcast voice.
Right. You're upbeat.
And
you're ready
so
to go.
You go from normal Ross to like a notch up, and just the look on Rob's face, he's like, whoa, okay.
It's like, whoa, we're
dude.
In it.
He's
okay,
like,
let's
shit,
go.
Man, yeah. You're fucking screaming at me. Now all of a sudden we were just normal conversational people a second ago.
It was like
ago.
Monday night, and all of a sudden it's Saturday night.
I know, yeah, right? Don't you feel okay. So alive
yeah,
now?
Yeah, I do. I feel I needed this, honestly.
This is my skill. I bring the energy in small little pockets, though. Then I go home and I just lay there.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I conserve.
Yeah, you have to do that.
I hibernate.
You're an entertainer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You know how it is.
Yeah, dude. Lay in the hotel room and then like give it to the people or try to. That's... And then
feed it to them.
Feed it to them. Hope they like it.
You obviously, first of all, Rob was on episode 196.
Okay.
If you never heard it, you got to go listen to it. As Rob mentioned before that episode, me and him, we didn't know each other.
It's like a Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was honestly, it was supposed to be a Patreon episode, like only for the premium paying people.
Right.
But then he crushed it to a degree that I was like, I can't just, this. It's like, because it's a smaller audience on Patreon.
Right.
And I was like, fuck this, man. We got to put this in the.
Yeah. You went for it. And all of a sudden I had like 500 more Instagram followers.
Boom. And then, dude, that's, but the song you sang, Run of Good Luck, which of course opened this entire episode. It became like one of my favorite songs.
Oh, thanks, man.
And I mean that, like, I still jam it routinely. Like, it's one of those songs that just fits into my brain. So
yeah.
It's not like you don't wear it out and then it sucks.
I know those
that
songs.
It's just, I love the song.
Oh, thanks, man.
So I also appreciate you letting us open the show with it today. That was
dude.
I just felt that was the vibe.
Set the vibe and then run with it.
You have a new live record dropping tomorrow morning, though?
Tomorrow morning, yeah.
Tuesday, March 3rd.
9 a.m.
2020.
Yeah. On.
First of all, I'm basically like Jimmy Fallon now, where artists come on my show the night before their records drop,
right.
Suck my dick everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
But also, so tell me everything the fuck about it.
Man, you know Arlen Studios around the corner?
Yeah.
We went and made it over there, brought in, set the whole thing up, made our own like set, basically.
So why'd you decide to do a live record?
Dude, I wanted to do it forever so I could tell the crazy stories about my songs.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of them.
So you're singing.
Singing.
You're getting to mix in
some stories.
The element of storytelling.
Yeah. And like, I mean, I tell these stories a lot every night, so it was kind of weird to just, like, we got to grab it one night, you know?
Yeah.
But it made more sense to do it at a recording studio because they got recording shit there.
Of course.
You know, and he had to bring a truck, which is expensive, to other places. And I was like, well, Arlen's sick and they'll let us do it. So I did that last November 13th, I think.
Did y'all just like record the whole thing in one day?
Yeah, did the whole thing in a day. Brought in a crowd, brought in some free booze, got them liquored up a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, there was this like former professional baseball player that like came up to me right before I was supposed to go on.
Okay.
Like older. Like, and this isn't, you know, he's
sure.
Nice guy, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But he's like, it's kind of like the whammy guy, you know, from like, oh, whammy.
Yeah.
And like, he came up to me, he's like, son, you're going to hit a home run tonight. Let's go. And I'm like walking on there and I'm like, fuck, I know the words. I'm fucking down. I know the words. Leave me alone. And then like, I get up there and I completely botch the first song.
No shit.
Yeah, it's not on there. I took it off. Okay. But like,
you just cut the
Just like started it and I was like, oh yeah, this is it. And then I was like, holy shit, these aren't even the real, like they're not even close to the real words. And I was just staring at the whammy guy who's on the front row and I was like, you son of a bitch.
He got in your head.
He got in my head. I had to, I tried to re-record it later. Completely didn't work.
No shit.
Yeah, so.
Well, that's a terrible feeling. Did the rest of it go well?
Yeah, the rest of it went pretty good. Once I got my, full 5 minutes of people just looking at me and being like, it was, I saw a video of it later because we shot video too. And it was like, it looked like I don't know, I was getting ready to just.
You freaked out.
Shit my pants,
and
basically.
You got people there who know the actual words that are like, what is this, the fucking remix?
Oh, totally. Totally. Yeah. So that was, I think I'm going to sequester myself next time I do something like this.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So how many songs do you go through in the record?
7 songs, 40 minutes. I mean, the stories are like 2 to 3 minutes long.
So is it like a 60-40 split singing
totally.
Stories?
And I tell stories about like playing all these like really rough honky tonks we called Midnight Rodeos. They're called Midnight Rodeos. We called them Midnight Ropahoes. I can't even say it right. I screwed up the whole thing. Talk about that and talk about like, I think I told you the gummy bear story about writing.
You did.
Yeah.
You did.
And then I won the George Strait lookalike contest, and that's how I thought I wanted to be in the music business.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a radio contest.
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of ridiculous ness that I kind of think about these songs and why I wrote them.
And is it kind of like, is this kind of encapsulate your career so far, do you feel like?
I think so, man. We also didn't do like a full band. Like we have we just have piano.
Mm-hmm.
And guitar and fiddle, and like it's real broken down. So I wanted to make sure the songs weren't like
it's not
were shining. Yeah, totally. Those were shining, and like that was the whole point of the deal.
A little more raw,
totally
full blown.
Like, here's the drums, man. It sounds just like the record.
Dude,
who cares?
You know what's strange to me? Yeah. It's funny. I'll listen to your record on Spotify all the time.
Uh-huh.
And because I sat 2 feet away from you the first time I ever heard the song.
Uh huh.
Like, the version that I have recorded, because somebody was in the studio with you and I, recording with a fucking iPhone. It's not even, like, professional quality. I still love listening to that version over the studio quality Spotify version.
I hear you, man.
Because that's the one I heard first, and it's like, that's, I don't know, it just moved me differently.
I feel the same way about a lot of stuff, man.
It happens all the time.
You just kind of, you get it in with a drummer, and I love the drummers that I play with, but sometimes they're like, all right, man, they're like spinning their sticks, like, let me just jump in there. I'll jump in there right now. And you're like, well, if you could just jump in later, because I don't think we need drums like immediately. And they're like, oh, man, come on.
You're working with so many different musicians who are trying to bring different shit, and just the more that there are, the more
it gets confusing. People.
You know what it reminds me of? You ever seen Eminem live?
Yeah.
So the dude refuses to not use the background track.
Yeah,
like
that's
cool. He's literally never performed without a fucking background track. But like, if you go see Jay-Z or Kanye
band,
there's no background track. It's just their vocals, and they work the chorus and shit like
right.
still. But Eminem, it's the whole thing. Like, he's rapping over the background track, and he just, for whatever reason, he never felt comfortable enough to not drop off the background track. And it's in part because he does these verses where he's spitting out 300,000 words a minute,
right?
Or whatever. But it always bugged me. Like, I can hear the actual record in the back. Over, and he's rapping.
Yeah, he's just going on top of it.
Well, then, bro, just play the fucking song.
Yeah, just stand there and rock.
I wish you would go either full live.
Right.
Or, like, then fine, lip sync it if you want, I guess.
What does Post Malone do?
That's a real, I bet, guarantee you he doesn't have a fucking track over his shit because he's
just out there alone, right?
Singer.
Yeah, he's just alone with no band on the stage.
He'll like drop the whole shit and just, it's like him and a guitar sometimes, I think. Yeah.
That's what I mean, dude, if I didn't have to bring a band, I love my band, but like if you could just go up there and travel alone with like a tour manager,
that'd
just be
the
like,
dream.
Just like a comedian.
Yeah.
Just go.
That is kind of what it's like, right?
Yeah.
Which is an interesting thing, like weaving your storytelling into it. And it reminds me of, that is like, oh my God, why do I always forget? What's the very famous midnight rodeo situation in San Marcos, Texas, where guys like Randy Rogers played?
Oh, I think it's called Midnight Rodeo.
Is it? No, Cheatham Street.
San Marcos.
Sorry,
got it.
Sorry,
yeah,
my bad.
I was thinking San Angelo.
Oh, yeah. Cheatham Street in San Marcos, Texas, when I used to go see guys there when I was in college, and I never knew who the fuck they were, but they were always like legendary Texas country singers that my boys knew. It was always like this element of show to it as well. Like they'd sing songs, but they'd tell stories. And there'd be parts where they weren't even singing for 15 minutes. It'd just be them like fucking around, drinking, telling stories.
Booze helps for that. Yeah.
A lot. Yeah. And at one point we saw a guy that was like, he was so drunk, it was actually kind of depressing. He started to fall asleep during the performance. But that vibe was there.
I saw that last week.
It happened.
It happened.
Hey, yeah, man, you're like, playing in bars. It's going to happen. Yeah. People fall asleep.
Yeah.
But it's that element of like, that's like a weird thing in country that I haven't felt elsewhere. Or maybe I've never been that deep into like the underground scene of any other music other than country, but I love that element of it.
I think it's because those people or country people are probably writing the songs more than like, you know, like a pop song. But I want to hear Jay-Z's stories about the songs more, which is in his book, Decoded.
I have that shit. That's what I was about to bring up, man.
Dude.
It's under my TV. And sometimes I'll open it and like read a little bit and I'm like, fuck, his life.
He was selling drugs.
Yeah,
it's for real.
He stabbed a guy.
Yeah, I mean, no
like,
doubt.
On the record.
I listened to his first record the other day and there, here comes Biggie Smalls. I didn't know.
Yeah.
You know?
Dude, their relationship is like a thing that I don't think most people that aren't huge Jay-Z fans or have looked into it or gone back and listened to his oldest music realize like that was very much a real thing.
It's crazy.
He thought that was like the guy he idolized.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had to go back to Decoded, check my references, pull up the index.
If you've never seen this book, Decoded, it's Jay-Z breaking down like all of his best and favorite songs he's ever had. And it's really, really cool. Yeah. Especially for, that's like basically what our conversations are.
Totally,
like, I'm interested in where artists and their music come from, right?
I mean, God, I think, if you're doing it now, it's got to be real. You know, like, I don't think anybody cares anymore if it's just some, like, bubblegum pop shit as much as it used to be. It's like, who cares? It doesn't make anybody feel anything.
Authenticity does seem to be valued more and more in music.
I think a lot of things. Hopefully.
And even in hip-hop, I mean, honestly, because rap went so far the other way.
Like trap music?
It got so fake, where all these guys were like, I'm a gangbanging drug dealer, and that was not the case with most of them.
Yeah.
And it's gone back the other way, where these kids are like, well, I'm not going to rap about that shit anymore, then I'm going to rap about how fucking depressed I am.
Yeah.
And it's gotten really real again.
Totally.
In a way that is probably good for the art overall. Because, I mean, dude, nobody wants fake shit.
No, especially now. I know, who cares?
And the world is too fucked up out there.
You can get shit from Amazon. Everything's just so easy to get. Like, I don't need anything that's like.
Give me the realness.
Yeah,
with my arts.
Yeah, I hope so.
So your new songs.
Yeah.
Where did they come from? What have you been inspired by when you wrote all? I'm assuming most of them were written in 2019 and before.
Yeah,
since you recorded in November.
Some of it's old, like remake stuff of like or different versions, and finally telling those stories. And then there's one new one. I was in Vegas.
Okay.
2012.
Wow.
On a date.
Strange.
With a girl I've been dating. But this is strange enough.
Oh, you took her to Vegas.
She was working for a company that was producing the Cosmopolitan Casino opening.
Very specific, yes.
Yeah. Coldplay opened for Jay-Z, Kanye, and Beyonce. So I was like, fuck yes, I'm going.
Oh, absolutely.
In like a ballroom.
Wow.
And, the girlfriend was, you know, she was like 5 years older than me. I was like 22. I was, you know, I was figuring out, I don't know.
A strange situation.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw this girl in Vegas, and I was like, who's that? Because I was kind of like, this one's kind of.
You were struck by someone else.
I was struck by that person. And then the girl I was dating was like, we should get married that night. And I was like, that sounds bad. We shouldn't do that. So we didn't. That's good. I kind of revolted. I went to the, if you want everyone to hide out in Vegas for a day, just go to the day spa.
Okay.
That's fine. Phone in the locker room. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. She could have found me anywhere else, but I was like, I'm in the day spa. This is my flight. I couldn't get a flight out earlier. But I remember that girl, and then now we're dating 8 years later.
The girl you saw?
Yeah.
That struck
you? I didn't see her for 5 years, and then I was like, who's that girl? And then I went on a bunch of dates, and I couldn't get my shit together. I was like, I was nervous, and nothing happened, and then eventually I broke her down.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's kind of what this song's about, how fucked up shit's going to be.
Okay, so does the song start out with the story from Vegas
and then
into y'all's relationship?
Yeah, it kind of talks about the other girl a little bit and then kind of comes back, I think. I don't really know what it means. It all came out in 1 minute. I was sitting out at my friend Brendan Anthony's house and we were just playing guitars, which I kind of hate doing. I hate jamming.
In front of people for their
But he's a musician, so he's he plays with me. And
okay.
It's we were just kind of probably drinking too much tequila, and I was like, okay. But
This reminds me of college.
Yeah. But he's 40. As a kid. Whatever,
yeah, some people never let it go.
Yeah, yeah. But then all of a sudden I just wrote the whole thing. I don't know. It just came out.
It just came out of you.
Yeah, which I'm looking for more of that.
Instead of the process of sitting down and going.
God, I got to do that tomorrow. Ah. I do that a lot.
Yeah.
That's a thing. And sometimes I write for other people, and I'm like, God, what is this real? What are we talking about?
Yeah.
But sometimes it works,
man. When you write for other people, is there usually a specific subject that they're asking you to delve into? Or how does that, so two questions.
Yeah. Okay.
One.
Okay.
Do you write full songs for other people? And then two, is there ever a case where somebody's like, hey, I need help on a song. Can you help me fuck around with this?
I like the second case scenario. That's cool. So I bring something to the table. But then you're like, okay, I know what you kind of want. So we can look at it. Generally, I'll start with someone I'll have a bunch of ideas, and they'll be an artist. I'm old now, so they're like, oh, yeah, I remember you in college. And I'm like, thanks, man.
I know how you
feel. Yeah, yeah.
you used to be the TFM guy, and I'm like, yeah, fuck you.
Yeah, exactly.
Fucking yes.
Yeah, I made out to my girlfriend in 8th grade your song. And I'm like, great, man, I'm 33 now. Thanks.
Talk about mental health now, and I pay taxes.
Yeah, taxes. Great. I literally texted my accountant and was like, we got to talk about quarterlies, man. Today. He's not texting me back. That's okay. He will eventually. Monday's a rough day for him.
Yeah. For all of us.
God, man. I normally end up just people come over to my house, and my whole house is I got a kitchen table. It's set up, piano, everything's set up that way. Guitars everywhere. And then I'm like, you have an idea? And most of the time people are like, what do you got, man? And I'm like, shit, okay. So I have a phone full of ideas, and I already plan out what I'm going to pitch to them, and hopefully they're like, oh, cool. Hell yeah. And then we try to figure out what their vibe is. I normally guess, do my research.
Sure.
You know, what are you in? What is this person into?
Yeah, you can get a feel for what they're maybe looking for, what fits for them.
Might not be what I'm into, but as long as they're happy at the end of it, they're like, hell yeah, man, I might cut this. And I'm like, okay.
That's the goal.
Yeah, at least we finished something.
Fucking A.
You can sit around and just come up with stupid shit all day, night long and be like, I smoke too much weed.
And that is one of the, when you first start out, as I'm sure you learned, as somebody in creative anything, singing, songwriting, writing columns, books, whatever the fuck. Yeah, you can go to that creative place and get real fucked up, and you can stay there for a really long time and then not do anything.
Totally, man. You just be like, I did my job. You just, you go too hard in the paint, and you're like, yeah, I slept till 11. I might have ate lunch at 2. I already did what I need to do this week. Yeah. What, dude,
it's weird.
You got started super young, right?
Yeah, I was straight out of college when I started. I was graduated, started writing. Yeah.
Yeah. Same thing happened to me, man. I graduated and had a publishing deal in Nashville, but I'd literally written all my songs at a Pottery Barn hand-me-down desk in my room that was my only personal space in college.
So you didn't know how to handle a professional process?
No idea.
Right.
And then I just went and got my ass handed to me by old guys that were like, son, you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
But they had written cool songs.
That's how you learn, though.
Yeah. Each person was uniquely different, too.
They brought something different to you?
Or you'd go into some dude's room and he'd have flip-ups on and his toes would be painted and he'd be like, I just got back from Key West, man. I'm like, okay, cool.
Sounds like a Matthew McConaughey character. Yeah.
And it was a lot of those people that have just been on Music Row just writing amazing songs, but just complete unique characters.
And it's a lot of washouts and stuff, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of them, man.
Yeah.
It's really, I mean, you see a lot of people, but then people get famous later, and it's very confusing.
It is super weird, and you start to, like, that's a thing I didn't understand as a kid, and it applies in the world of Hollywood and acting as well. Like, people go for their artistic dream of, you know, music, movies.
Yeah.
And some people hit it when they're fucking Justin Bieber age, and that's crazy, and it happens very rarely.
Yeah.
But most people grind and then find their moments.
Totally.
Right? And, like, that's all most of us can hope for is something like that. And you don't realize, guys, like, there's, like, my favorite example ever is, I always bring it up, is it's John Hamm.
Went to UT.
Yeah, he didn't, and he got in trouble for hazing while he was there as well.
Uh-huh.
It's a great story. Google it. He didn't hit it big until he was, like, 45 with Mad Men.
Yeah.
And like, it's not like he wasn't out there trying.
Uh-uh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you just never know with that sort of thing. And it's like,
a weird show too, right? It was on AMC. They never done anything like that before. They thought it was just going to be like I'll shoot a pilot, see what happens.
It was boring as fuck. I loved it. I watched every season. I don't even know what happened. Yeah.
I had no idea what happened. I watched everything.
It was incredible and I hated it. And
a lot of drinking, a lot of fucking.
it was like basically like John Draper, this guy is a real piece.
Yeah.
But it's kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, and good for him. And he's got a real career now. There's so many people like that, though. Like Ed Helms, like...
just come out of nowhere, But it happens with musicians, too, a lot.
Totally.
And it's still one of my favorite things is to see guys that are sort of like a little behind the scenes, that write for other people, that don't have, like... it's not like a full frontal star-facing type of situation. Like, there's a guy named James Fauntleroy.
Okay.
Who does this in hip-hop, who's like... he's written some of the biggest songs for some of the biggest artists that we all know. But you don't know this dude.
Yeah.
Because he's just like grinding, but he makes badass music too.
Yeah.
People don't hear it as much.
That sounds almost better sometimes than being famous, man.
Like the all the way version is really scary.
It's pretty scary.
Hold on. Questions about the new record before I forget all of them. Seven songs, you said?
Seven songs.
Drops tomorrow.
Yep.
Tuesday.
I like dropping a record on Tuesday. That's what people used to do.
Yeah.
And you have complete control now. I like literally like did a tab and was like
live
9 a.m. tomorrow. Yeah.
That's awesome. March 3rd, 9 a.m. It'll be available. What's the full title and how do we
live at Arlen Studios?
Live at Arlen
it's
Studios.
It's all streaming. It's not like I'm not selling copies. I mean, it's not CDs are a joke now. They really are. Like I asked the younger kids that come in to write with me, I'm like, you guys sell any CDs? They're like, man, what are you talking about? We don't sell CDs.
Yeah. No, fuck all that.
Like,
they're on SoundCloud and shit.
Yeah, it's no reason.
Stream it.
No.
Listen to it. Will you play us a song?
Of course.
Would you mind?
Maybe we'll do that Vegas song.
Let's do that song. You talked to us about it. That sounds like it would be the perfect one for us to hit. Will you tell us a little bit about it while you get your guitar set up in terms of when you are you told us how you wrote it?
Yep.
Came out of you in a minute.
Yeah, hopefully.
And that's what she said. And you're dating the girl that struck you in Las Vegas.
Somehow, yeah. I don't know, man. I haven't really been, like, great at dating people, so this one's sticking, which is weird. You know,
I know the feeling. Relationships are fucking terrifying.
Yeah, they are. They are. They can
also be awesome.
Yeah, they can be both. The world, it only gets stranger as you get older, doesn't it?
It really does.
Yeah, you have to just...
I'm telling you.
Yeah, man.
What the fuck?
You
just strap in, kids. Sing us a song about it, Rob.
All right, there you go.
Sing us a song about it.
I was riding high in Vegas when I saw you standing there in that pearl blue dress, looking important. I was feeling small. You said to me things I never could guess. It ain't the same feeling insane. Think the world is out to get you, and I need something that you've been holding, and I don't know if I'm ever gonna get there. Better get it before it's gone, yeah, you better get it before it's gone. And and go on something like time keeps winding. I don't know if it'll ever be held. And you've been thinking, and I've been drinking, and I don't give a damn if it goes to hell. It ain't the same, it ain't insane. Think the world is out to get you. And I need something, and you've been holding. I don't know if I'm ever gonna get there. Come on, baby, tell me one thing, 'cause I've been losing for way too long. If all I know here is just lightning, better get it before it's gone, before it's gone. I was riding high in Vegas when I saw you standing there in that pearl and blue dress, looking important, and I was feeling small, said to me things I never could guess. Better get it before it's gone, yeah. Better get it before it's gone, yeah. You 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 better get it before it's gone.
Ooh, shit, son. That is a hit, son. That's good stuff, Rob. Thank you, man. Holy shit.
I recorded a version of that, but I didn't really love it. So it's the new one on the record, but like, it'll eventually make a record, hopefully.
Like, you'll make an official studio version.
Yeah, yeah. But then again, it's like, eh.
You like the raw version?
Yeah, you like the raw version, you know?
Well, fuck, dude. I loved it. Thank you for performing it for us.
Of course, man.
Mr. Rob Baird.
Thanks for having me back, man.
Support the man. Support his music. Comes out tomorrow morning, March 3rd, Tuesday, March 2020, 3rd. 9 a.m.
9 a.m. Oh, I mean, I think so.
And you never know.
I don't know the time zones and Spotify people, but it'll be up tomorrow.
Maybe you sleep in a little bit too.
Hopefully.
That's what I tell people. I tell people like this episode was supposed to come out last Thursday. I think. And then it's fucking Monday, so you never know.
Jets people.
We're artists.
It's coming. It's gonna be there.
It's a goddamn break.
There when you need it.
Rob Baird, ladies and gentlemen, thank you again, man.
Thanks, man.
That will do it for today's show. Jared's back.
Hey,
hi, Jared.
That was fun. I listened through an air vent.
It was magic. We didn't have that sound effect when you magically re-entered, but next time.
Yeah, we can.
Next time.
No, yeah, we'll get the soundboard.
Mike will cut that out that I just did, and he'll use it.
you could just do it again, but okay.
Yeah, yeah. But before you head out to take on the world, we have some very important announcements very quickly. If you want more RBP every month ad-free, you can support the show on patreon.com/RossBolandPodcast. In exchange, you will get premium RBP only for supporters on Patreon. No ads. Thank you to everyone on patreon.com/RossBolandPodcast for making the show possible, for keeping Boland Media moving in the right direction. We do a special guest episode every month on Patreon. We had Mr. Mike Moody, our producer and regular co-host, as our special guest for the month of February. It was one of the more incredible, moving, and important interviews and conversations that I've just ever gotten to have, period. Point blank.
I was hoping he put himself
up. Mike threw himself up and said, hi, Mike is the man. For those of you who have reached out and let Mike know how much it meant to you to hear him speak, that thank y'all. It means a lot to me to see y'all showing your appreciation. So thank you so much, and hit patreon.com/RossBolandPodcast to hear Mike and I's entire conversation. You have three legal obligations. You know them, and I have to get out of the studio, so I'm not going to say them. Support our sponsors. Use the codes, rate and review. Tell people about the show.
Oh, and follow J-Bone on social media.
Follow both me and J-Bone on social media.
Just me.
Just Jared. Just follow Jared. It's at Jared Borislow on Twitter and Instagram. And he also runs at Tinder Convos. And then also follow at Freeze All Motor on Instagram. It's our Freeze All Motor functions. If you're watching Westworld, it's our Westworld podcast. Westworld's coming back in a couple weeks. Be ready. Season 3, Oysters, Clams, and Cockles. Listen to that. It's available wherever RBP is available. Follow us on Instagram at the Ross Bolin Podcast, on Twitter at Ross Bolin Pod, on Facebook somewhere. If you're the middle-aged aunt of one of our listeners, follow me, Ross Bolin, on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at WR Bolin. That will do it for episode 271, recorded and produced by Mike Moody and Grant Davis at Permanent Record Studios in Austin, Texas. We'll be back Thursday with episode 272, RBP 272, coming Wednesday, but you'll probably catch it on Thursday. You are not alone. Podman gets paid. Respect, Mr. Park. Strength and honor. Gang, gang, gang. Peace be with you and also with you.
At Jared Borislow.
Go low, baby.